like I said to Shul tonight, if you already made plans, change them. Because we have to start our series of speakers, our Torah series, which we do in conjunction with Boca Raton Synagogue. When they have people, we join in together with them. And the lecturer tonight is Rabbi Yoni Levin, who's the Rosh Kollel of Emek HaMelech, an assistant rabbi in Esh Kodesh. So it's a very special honor for us to have him here tonight. This is not the first time he is here. I'm sure it's not the last time either. His topic tonight is Silence of the 3 Weeks, the Music of Angels. Rabbi Levin.
Thank you very, very much for having me, and it's great to be back here. And it's a real honor to be the first guest speaker here in this season, this tekufa. And Mirtz Hashem, we should not have to do this ever again and be zocha to have many shirim in person and live. Is this too close, you think? Should I fix the mic?
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can get it closer.
Closer to me. I can lean forward. Is that good? Okay. So I want to discuss a little bit about music. During the 3 weeks, there are two basic halachas that affect us, that Shulchan Aruch tells us that we have to keep. One of the halachas is that we can't get haircuts. And the second halacha is that we don't listen to music. And I want to focus tonight's discussion on why we don't listen to music during these few weeks. What does Chazal teach us about music and the power of song? And if you look at Eicha, the Prakim of Eicha have the Psukim in Aleph Beis order. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and so on. And if you take a look at the second Perek Beis of Eicha, there's one Pasuk that's out of order. The Pasuk that begins with the letter Ayin precedes the Pasuk that begins with the letter Pe. The Ayin and Pe are out of order. If you take a look at the second chapter of Eicha, the Ayin and Pe are out of order. It goes Pe and then Ayin. Why is that? So the Gemara teaches us that the Meraglim went into Eretz Yisrael and they came back and they spoke with their Pe, they spoke with their mouth, that which they didn't see with their eyes. And to highlight this point, the Psukim are out of order, the Ayin and the Pe in Eicha, because that was the first event that took place on Tisha B'Av. The Chet of the Meraglim, the sin of the spies, and we're forever trying to make up that mistake, to fix our eyes, that which we see, and to fix our mouth, that which we say, and that which we hear. So music are one of the areas how we could fix our peh, how we could fix what we say things, how we hear things. So the simple reason why we don't have music during this time period is because music makes us happy. Music brings us simcha. I know in my house, the 3 weeks in Sfiras Omer are the saddest times of the year because we always have music playing in the house. Certainly Erev Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, I'm zocha to have a very musical family. My children play piano and guitar. Some of them compose songs. And when 3 weeks come and Sfira comes, it's very sad. It's silent. It's empty. But it's not just because music makes us happy that we're told not to listen to it during the 3 weeks. But there's actually a very strong correlation between music and the Beis HaMikdash. Imagine you're in the Beis HaMikdash, and it's early morning, the sun rises, the doors open up, and they begin to bring the different karbanos. And it's very busy, very active, and there's a lot of shechting of animals and blood all over the place. But despite all the activity, you hear the choir of Levim. You hear the songs, singing Tehillim. You hear the instruments. They had a choir, they had an orchestra. And you heard this beautiful, beautiful song every single day, all day long. And the Sefer Chinuch writes, you know why we had music in the Beis HaMikdash? Because the neshama, the soul, is awakened by music. When you bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, we had to focus. We had to be spiritually focused. We had to realize what we did wrong and what we could do right. And we need to inspire that neshama. So the Levim are there singing, the instruments playing, the guitars and the flutes and the trumpets and whatever else they had to awaken us spiritually, to accompany each carbon. And now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so it's inappropriate for us to have music. It's inappropriate for it to have songs and to be happy. So let me ask the question. What about music gets us excited? What about music awakens the neshama? We go to a chasm, we go to a simcha, we go to a wedding, a bar mitzvah, a bas mitzvah, and there's a whole band, and there's a beautiful choir or a singer, and we get inspired. We start to dance, we move our feet, we move our hands, we go in circles. What about music gets us so excited, motivates us, inspires us? So there's a sefer called Pardes Rimonim. The Pardes Rimonim was written by a great Mekubal, Rav Moshe Kardava, from the 16th century. And he writes, you know why music is so inspiring? Our neshama hears the sound of music and it gets awakened. Because where did that neshama come from? This is a very deep idea. Every one of us in this room has a neshama. And when every child is brought into this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu places a soul inside that body. And where does Hashem take that neshama from? It's up in Shemayim. The neshamas are beneath the Kisei HaKavod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne that He sits on. There's a throne, a spiritual throne. And there's a whole basket of neshamas, whatever that means. And a child is born, Hashem plucks that neshama and places it into the body. But before that neshama came into this world, when the neshama was up in Shemayim, you know what the neshama was accustomed to? It heard the sound of angels. It heard the malachim singing songs, singing nigunim. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Baruch vod Hashem imkomo. All day long. All night long up in Shemayim, there are songs being sung by the Malachim. The sound of angels. And it comes down into the world of silence, of emptiness. There's no singing of the Malachim. But then suddenly, you turn on the radio, you turn on a CD, and you hear a sound of music. The neshama is reminded. It wakes up, it opens its eyes, and, oh, that's the sound of Malachim. That's what I'm used to hearing up in Shemayim. And so the neshama is so inspired by that, and it wants to be better. It wants to come closer to Hashem. It wants to go up back to Shemayim where the Malachim are, closer to the Shekhinah. And so when the Levim are singing their song in the Beis HaMikdash, playing their instruments, and we go to bring a karban, our neshama is awakened and inspired by that sound of the angels, that music. He was so used to hearing. There's a sefer written by a Talmud of the Gra, Rabbi Yisrael Mishakalov, wrote a sefer called Pas HaShulchan. It's a sefer in Hilchos Shavis in Eretz Yisrael, and he has an incredible hakdama, the introduction to the sefer. He talks about his great Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, learned all the various wisdoms of the world. His father made sure to teach the Gra all the wisdoms of the world, with the exception of just one. The Gaon's father, the Vilna Gaon's father, did not want the Vilna Gaon to learn medicine. And you want to know why? Because had the Gra learned refuah. Had he been a doctor, he would have been the best doctor in the world and would have no time to learn, or not enough time to learn and to teach. So that was the one area he didn't learn. But every other wisdom, science, math, music, history, you name it, the Gra learned it. Not only Torah. He wrote a math book. And what he explains, his Talmud explained, that the Gaon told him that the two most important chachmas, the two most important subjects and wisdoms in the world to help understand Torah is mathematics, he writes, including algebra and trigonometry, all of that, and music. Mathematics and music. And he explains that music is the only way a person's able to understand the deepest areas of Torah, the deepest areas of the Zohar. Because when the neshama hears that sound of music and hears the angels, the neshama is awakened and allows you to enter into the deepest recesses of the Torah. One of the greatest composers we have of Jewish history, Rav Shlomo Alkovitz Halevi. Shlomo Halevi, who composed Lecha Dodi, and he wrote a number of other songs as well. And he has a parish called Manos Halevi. It's called Halevi because he was a Levi. And he understood music very well. And listen to the fascinating question that he raises on Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther opens up with the Suda of Ahasuerus, the great party of Ahasuerus. And he notes that four of the five senses that we have were all very present at that Suda, that meal, at that feast. He said there was certainly taste. All types of delicacies were there. All types of steaks and chickens and foods and salads and desserts. There was vision, beautiful, gold and silver and diamonds, all types of cloths, silk. There was feel, you could sit in all types of couches and chairs, wool, linen. And there is smell, the fragrance, there are flowers, perfume, cologne. All that to entice everybody to an enjoyable meal. But there's one sense that wasn't present at that meal, at that great feast. When we all go to a wedding, there's always a band. You go to a bar mitzvah, there's usually music playing, a keyboard player maybe. Why was there no band? Why was there no choir? Why is nobody singing at this great feast of Ahasuerus? So he says something incredible. The Manos Halevi writes, because there are some people, Yesh Anoshim Ya'ariv Alem Kolkach. Some people enjoy music so much. It touches their heart and their soul. Ad until the point, Asher Yisbatlu Chusheim. Till all their other senses go numb. They don't even know where they are. In this blissful world, maybe their eyes are shut and they hear the music. They're meditating somehow. And some of them go into a deep sleep or a slumber. And he says, Kitispodet ha-nefesh, the nefesh becomes silent or alone by itself. Lishmo el harino. It hears the sound. Ad shetanuach haguf kifagar meis, like the body becomes almost dead and silent and numb. And the concern was, Ahasuerus felt that if he had music there, people would not enjoy the physical aspects of that meal. They'd be so lost in the music that neshama would take them away. And he wanted them to enjoy the physical. He wanted them to enjoy the food, the smell, the taste, the touch, the vision. But the sound of music, that which goes in our ears, that connects to the neshama. That connects to the soul. Ahasuerus did not want to connect to the soul. He didn't want to connect to the neshama. And Rav Shlomo Alkovitz, who understood the power of music, understood why there is no sound of music at that great feast. Rabbi Nachman Mibrezov explains, we have a chazan every single day. A chazan goes up. He davens for the Amud. Why is he called a chazan? What is the name chazon? What does the word chazon mean? So the word chazon comes from the word chazon. As in chazon Yeshayahu. Chazon means to see, a vision, a nevuah. To be a chazon, he says, you need to tap into a certain level of Ruach HaKodesh. There's some songs out there, some composers who come from a place of tumah. But a real chazon, a real composer, a real singer, has to attach himself to his neshama through nevuah, through Ruach HaKodesh. I have a son who composes songs, he's 13. There's no way to explain how he composes songs. There's no scientific method to it. It just happens. There's just a certain gift or talent that someone's given. People could be trained how to read notes, how to understand music. But when a person has a gift, whether it's in music, whether it's in art, whatever it's in, you can't explain. It comes from something that's in the neshama. And that's what a chazon is, a chazon. Some connection to the shemayim. Because music taps into the world above. And because we have no Beis HaMikdash, because we're in the 3 weeks and we're mourning the Beis HaMikdash, it's inappropriate to have music. We're at a loss. We're distant from the Shekhinah. So the question becomes then, how do we bring it back? How do we reconnect? How do we reconnect our neshama? How do we reconnect to the Beis HaMikdash? If the music is what inspires us, if the music what motivates us and our neshama to do better and be better, and we can't listen to music during the 3 weeks, how are we going to get excited? How are we going to reconnect? So Chazal teach us that although we can't listen to actual music, we have two very fundamental mitzvahs that are both considered a song. And that's very simply Torah and Tefillah. Torah is called the Shira, and Tefillah is called the Shira. And let me explain each one of them separately, how Torah is called the Shira, and how Tefillah is called the Shira, and how that's going to bring back the Beis HaMikdash, because remember, the Beis HaMikdash also is a place of Torah, and it's a place of Tefillah. The Beis HaMikdash, where we brought karbanos every single day, that was the avoda. That was the tefillah. Right next to the Beis HaMikdash, there was the Sanhedrin. That was the Torah, the greatest chachamim. Ki mitzion teite sora, from Tzion, from Yerushalayim, comes the Torah. And it's also called Beis Tefilasi. Called a Beis, a house of tefillah. So the Torah and tefillah, both of which are called music, are going to bring back the Beis HaMikdash. So let's explain. How is Torah called a Shira? And how is Tefillah called a Shira? So we have many statements in the Gemara that tell us that Torah is called a Zemer, called a Shira. In what way is Torah a song? So there's a fascinating Tosfos. We have Torah, something called Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? Gemara Mishnah a Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh means you say from word to word, from person to person. You memorized it. The Mishnayos, back in the times of the Tanaim, were not written in a Sefer. They memorized every single Mishnah. And you know how they memorized them? I have three girls, I have about three boys. My girls know a lot more than my boys. You know why? Because they learn everything to a song. They know all the capitals of the United States of America because they have a song. My boys don't learn songs. My girls know all these important facts in Torah because they know songs that made them memorize. My boys don't learn songs. I don't know why, but that's what yeshivas, they don't learn in songs. So Tosfos said they used to have special songs for each Mishnah. For each Mishnah, there's a special song to memorize that Mishnah. In fact, there's something that appears in the Gemara called a Chasuri Mechsera. When sometimes there's a few words that are deleted, intentionally deleted from a Mishnah. It's called chasure, which means to be chaser, to be missing, chasure mechser. And the Tosfos Yontif explains, you know why that was deleted? Because the words don't always fit into the song. The lyrics don't always fit into the music. It's hard. Sometimes you pick a pasuk, and you want to kind of squeeze it into the music. Sometimes you create a song and you want to find lyrics that fit. But sometimes they just don't mesh. They don't fit. So they sometimes had to remove some words from the Mishnah so they can memorize it much better. And they'll figure out afterwards what's missing. But at least they memorized the Mishnah. That's one reason, one way Torah is called a Shira. But the great Aruch HaShulchan said there's a different reason. There's some great soloists out there, some great singers. They sound very nice when they sing by themselves. There's some great guitarists. They play a nice guitar. It's an impressive solo. But Aruch HaShulchan says you can't compare one singer to a choir of singers. All different types of voices, high voices, low voices, whatever you call them. You can't compare one violinist to 10 violinists, plus a harp and a flute and a tuba and drums and a piano. The orchestra of all types of singers and instruments makes the most beautiful symphony. Aruch HaShulchan says, you know what makes Torah so beautiful? It's because there's so many different opinions. The Ashkenazim and the Sephardim, the Meraccan, the Iranian, all different types. There's Hasidim, there's Nusach Sfar, Nusach Ashkenaz. And on the surface, it sounds like it's a big problem. So many different types of people. But the Aruch HaShulchan says that's the beauty. That we could all be part of one nation, even though we have a different sound of music. Although my sound is different than your sound. And my approach is different than your approach. As long as it's within the framework of Halacha, the framework of Shulchan Aruch, as long as it's part of the Mesorah, it's all acceptable. And that's the beauty of the Torah. It's what we call Elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. This and that, they're both true. They all came from Shemayim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, there are 70 different types of pipes of Torah that came out. And they're all true somehow. So that's what makes a song. That's what makes music. That's what makes a symphony so beautiful. The orchestra and the choir, everyone together. My daughter once wrote a very, very simple poem. The poem is called, Together We Can Create Music. I'm not sure what grade she was in. It doesn't seem very sophisticated, but when I read it and it was simple, it touched me. So my daughter, she plays piano. She's now 17. I wrote it a few years ago. So she writes that one plays piano, one plays the flute, and another violin, all part of one orchestra. Yet they play their own part. Together they create music. But if the violinist plays piano, and the pianist plays the flute, they will not create music. So I must play my part, and you must play yours. And together we can create music. We each have a different role in that great orchestra that we're part of. The orchestra of millions and millions of people and neshamas throughout the world. So Torah represents all those different opinions. When we learn Gemara, when we learn Chumash, Navi, Mishnayos, it's singing the song of the angels. And listen to this incredible, incredible remez, hint in the Rashi Tevos. Gemara, which is the primary learning that we do, stands for the following. Gimel is for Gavriel. Mem is for Michael. Resh is for Raphael. And Aleph is for Uriel. Four of the great angels up in Shemayim. And when we learn down here our Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah that He gave us, we are joined by these four malachim. Although we can't see them, they're busy singing songs up in Shemayim. But when they hear the Kol Torah, they hear our voice, our song, our music, they hear a bass medrash that's hustling and bustling with people learning. Gavriel, Michal, Raphael, Uriel all come to join because that's the sound that they want to hear as well. Instead of our neshama going back up to the malachim are coming down to us. Rav Yashiv was known to learn an incredible amount, uninterrupted. He'd learned so much that even at his sudas, even when he had meals, he'd be learning with a sefer. It'd be a Shabbos meal. His grandkids would come over, and he'd be sitting there at the head, learning from his sefer. And oftentimes, his grandchildren would come back to teach a new niggun, and Rav Yashu would not be paying attention. He'd be learning his sefer. Now, on occasion, Rav Yashu spent the week learning in an Ezes Nashim of a nearby shul. He locked himself in. No one could go inside. Only the Rebbetzin had a key to get him. And he had a very, very wonderful voice. Beautiful, beautiful voice. And people would oftentimes go by and listen and just to hear Rav Yashu learn. They couldn't see, but just listen to that great tzaddik learn. And once in a while, the grandchildren would catch Rav Yashu learning to one of the nigudim that they taught at that Shabbos meal. He didn't think he was paying attention. He was busy learning, but he heard those songs. He incorporated those songs in his actual learning. That's the fusion of the sound of music, the sound of the malachim, when it comes to Limud HaTorah. So we can't hear real music nowadays for the next few weeks, but we could create the music from within. Now there's the other element of tefillah. Tefillah is also called the shira. Tefillah is also called music. In what way? In what way is tefillah called music? Well, very simply, we actually sing when we daven. There's a certain niggun, a certain nusach, comes to kedusha. We oftentimes incorporate songs in those kedushas. But listen to this amazing thing. I told you before that the Gra wrote that mathematics and gematrias are some of the deepest areas of Torah. So let me share with you a fascinating gematria. The Gemara tells us that the Avos, when they each encountered Har Abayis, Har Moriah, they saw it in a different way. The Pasuk says that Avram saw it as a har, as a mountain, when it came to Akedas Yitzchak. Yitzchak Avinu, when he got to Har Moriah, he called it a sade, lasuach basad, he called it a field. And Yaakov Avinu, when he was there, he called it a bayis, a house. A har, a sade, and a bayis. A mountain, a plateau, a field, and a house on top. So here's the gematria. The gematria of Machaneh, which is a camp, there are different encampments in the Mishkan, in the Midbar, different encampments, different layers. The gematria of Machaneh is 103. 103 times 2 is 206. That's gematria of Har. We could always add 1. Har plus 1 is 206. That's a mountain. The gematria of Machaneh times 3 is 309. That's gematria of Sada. The gematria of Machaneh times 4 is 412. That's gematria of Bias. So Har, Sada, Bias. 206, 309, 412. There's one more step. The gematria of Machaneh times 5 is 515. What's 515? That's the gematria of tefillah. That's the gematria of shira. And that's the amount of times that Moshe Rabbeinu davened to enter into Eretz Yisrael to go to the Beis Mikdash, which he was unsuccessful. But that's the power of tefillah. 515. Tefillah is a shira. And we stand on the shoulders of the avos as we daven, as we sing the song of tefillah, to bring back that Beis HaMikdash, that har, that sadeh, that bias through the power of tefillah. Now, there's a story that took place in a yeshiva, Lam's yeshiva in Petach Tikva. And the Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Abba Grossband, was once giving an incredible drasha. It was Elul. It was a fiery drasha about doing tshuva and being better. He's standing in front of the yeshiva full of all the bachim. And the momentum is going strong. He's fired up. And suddenly, they hear some boy singing. Apparently, one of the boys missed the shmuz. He was busy taking a shower in the nearby dormitory. And just as the momentum is building up, they start hearing him sing an opera song in the shower. And everyone begins to laugh. They couldn't hold it back. So Rosh Yeshiva, who had great momentum, was just stopped short. And he explained that everybody in this world has their own song. Some songs might be an opera, like that guy. Some songs is in tefillah. Some songs are in Torah. But we all have our own path in this great, great symphony that we find ourselves in. But sometimes we feel that what's my voice going to add to the millions and millions of people davening and learning? What effect can I have? I'm one small person. I'm one small neshama. Can my voice really have an impact? Can really have an effect on what's going around the world? So we find something fascinating this week's parsha. In Parshas Pinchas, we're introduced to the story of the great Tzidkanios, the great Benos Tzlafchad. Tzlafchad's daughters, Machla, Noah, V'chagla, Milka, V'sirtza. And they claimed, they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, how's it fair? Avinu meis b'midbar, our father died in the midbar. Mekoshesh etim, he died. And he died without any sons. Lama yigara. Why should we be any worse? Kiyona eino ben? Tinu lanu achuza. Give us a property. We want to live in Eretz Yisrael. Give us a chela. And Rashi says, why is this story right after the first 50 or so psukim of the parsha, where it lists all the different numbers of each of the shvatim? How many men were in Yehuda and Reuven and Shimon and so on? And then we have Benos Tzlafchad. What connection between all the numbers? Ebenos Tzlafra. So Rashi comments, you know why? Because we see from here that the Nashim, the women, have an incredible love for the land of Eretz Yisrael. Benosav Chavuas Aretz, they love the land, as it says, Tenu Lanu Achuza. They claim that we want the Achuza. But the men, they said, nah, they sent the Meraglim. Let's try to avoid Eretz Yisrael. Let's stay away from Eretz Yisrael. They said, Nashuva Mitzrayim, let's go back to Mitzrayim. But the women wanted the Achuza. That's what we learn from here. So you say from this, says Rashi, the Nashim, the women in the Midbar, were not included in the Gezer of Meraglim. Because Nashim, Hayu Mechavavos Hazar, they loved Eretz Yisrael. They loved Eretz Yisrael. They were not anything. They had nothing to do with the Meraglim. They didn't want to get anywhere near the Meraglim. But the men, they wanted the Meraglim, let's go back to Mitzrayim. So Rav Chaim Zaitchik, or Chadash, he writes, he asks the question, where do we see that the women loved Eretz Yisrael? We only find that Benos Tzlafchad loved Eretz Yisrael. No one else. No one else came forward. Only these five Tzidkanios. Where do you see anybody else who loved Eretz Yisrael? He says, these five leaders convinced all the hundreds of thousands of other women that were there. Sometimes we feel like we can't accomplish. Sometimes we think we can't have an impact. We can't influence other people. But we learn from the Nashim Tzidkanios that not only did they have a love for Eretz Yisrael, but they made sure that all the other women also loved Eretz Yisrael so much. We should never sell ourselves short. We never know what we could accomplish. Your tefillah, your limud Torah has an impact. You may not realize it, but it has ripple effects on those around you. It has ripple effects up in Shemayim. And he says we have the same thing, unfortunately, the opposite. The opposite case we have by their father, Tzlafchad, who we're told is with the Mekoshes Eitzim. Mekoshes Eitzim, he was schlepping the wood in the Midbar, and ended up getting, was killed for doing so. So Pasuk tells us that he didn't keep Shabbos. And Rashi comments there. He comments, unfortunately, that Klaiso couldn't even keep one Shabbos, even two Shabboses rather. The first Shabbos was great. But right by the second Shabbos, they messed up. It was a genusan shel Yisrael, he says. It was a terrible disgrace for Klaiso that they couldn't keep even two Shabboses. So Zaitchik asks a question. Only one person messed up. It was Tzlafchad. Why are you saying it was the problem of all of Am Yisrael? Rather, we see that when a person does an Avera, that one Avera affects everyone around you. And when you do a mitzvah, it affects everyone around you. So your tefillah, your Torah, your song contributes to this incredible symphony we find ourselves in. So I'll finish off with one last piece, and maybe a story, that in the Beis Hamikdash they would sing different songs, all from Sefer Tehillim. Sefer Tehillim, which describes the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all his great attributes, written by David HaMelech, along with some other Mechabrim as well, other composers, but mainly by David HaMelech. Beautiful psukim, as we know. That was the song. Maybe different tunes. But the strange thing is, Sefer Tehillim, as powerful as it is, and the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it contains, the very first two words of Sefer Tehillim are very odd and peculiar. The first two words are, Ashrei Ha'ish, praiseworthy is man. Now, if I were writing Sefer Tehillim, obviously I did not, and are incapable of doing so, but if one were to write Sefer Tehillim, you would imagine it should start off Ashrei Hashem. Praiseworthy is Hashem, because it describes Hashem. It doesn't describe me and you. It doesn't describe mankind. It should start Ashrei Hashem. What's Ashrei Ha'ish? Why is that the opening two words? So Pinchas explained as follows. Let's say I want to describe a great artist. I could describe the artist, perhaps by his education, where he studied. I could describe the artist by his technique. I could describe an artist by which museums maybe house his paintings. I could describe the value of his paintings. But the best way to describe the greatness of a painter is by his actual painting, by his artwork. To show them the artwork, that's the greatness. So says Reb Pinchas, the greatest way to describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu, yes, you could explain he's full of chesed. He's full of compassion and rachamim. Yes, he judges. He's full of mishpat. He gives tzedakah. All those things are attributes of Hashem. But you know the best way to describe Hashem? Ashrei Ha'ish. By explaining his masterpiece unto you and I. All of us who are created with Tzel Melkim, who were given that neshama, as up in Shemayim, beneath the Kisei HaKavod, that neshama that heard all the songs of the Malachim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu infuses that neshama inside each one of our bodies and imbues us with Tzel Melokim, Ashrei Ha'ish. You want to understand Hashem? Look at yourself in the mirror. Look at your friend, your neighbor, your relatives. That's Tzel Melokim. That's Ashrei Ha'ish. That's how beautiful Hashem is. The person sitting next to you, that's the beauty of Hashem. And when you think you don't have the ability, remind yourself, Ashrei Ha'ish. That's how the songs, all the songs open up of Tehillim, Ashrei Ha'ish. And we should be reminded that although we have no music to listen to for the next few weeks, we can create our own sound, our own music, through the Kol Torah, through the Kol Tefillah. And with that, we'll be zoche to bring the Mashiach and the coming of the Beis Hamikdash. So let me finish up, before I finish with the final bracha, I want to share one last story with you about a painting. It's a story of the great Aruch Lanier. He lived in Poland. And the practice in Poland was every house of worship had to hang the picture of the Polish president in their lobby. And one day the Polish president reached out to Aruch Lanier and his kehila that he wants to pay a visit to his shul. So of course Aruch Lanier accepted, was excited, but they had to make the shul presentable for the king, the president, to come. So they had to sweep, they had to vacuum, they had to mop the floor, they wanted to repaint even. Now when they're repainting the walls, they made sure to turn the picture of the president around so they shouldn't paint over his face. So they turned it around and painted the walls and cleaned the carpets and mopped the floors, cleaned the bathrooms. Crystal clean. Then the day comes. The president of Poland arrives with his entourage, and the Jewish community comes out to greet him. They invite him into the shul. And the Polish president is noticeably angry. And Archlaner takes a quick look around, says, "Pardon me, Mr. President, I understand why you're upset." He noticed that the picture of the president was still turned back. So he says to him, "We have a mitzvah, a good deed, or whatever the Polish equivalent is, called tefillin. And we wear tefillin every single day, wrapping around our arms, on our head. And that reminds us of the master of the world, the master of the universe, Hashem. But on Shabbos, we don't wear the tefillin. Because on Shabbos, the Shekhinah is in our presence. We don't need a reminder. Hashem is with us on Shabbos. Mr. President, all year round, you're far away from us. We have the picture to remind us. But now that you're with us, we don't need a picture. We have the president himself." So though it seems like the Shekhinah has turned its back, it seems that he's not among us. There's no Beis HaMikdash. But the Shekhinah is with us, especially in times of darkness, in times of avelus, in times of mourning. But the way to bring that Shekhinah where it's clear, where we could sense it, where we could feel it, is to tap into the strengths of the neshama. That's the power of song, the power of music. And we should be zoche through all the kol Torah, through all the kol tefillah, we should be zoche to create this incredible orchestra, this incredible symphony, and be zoche to usher in the Mashiach, in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the Gula Shleima, Ba'amitas, Mehir Amenu, Amen V'Amen.